Surely our hearts overflow. This is always a scary place, but it's even more scary when a meeting's been blessed as much as this one has. And you don't want to do anything that would detract and mess it up. I thank you for your love, for your hospitality, for all the work that's gone on. Truly, we felt the love of the Lord and the love of His people in this place. I'd like to read the first three verses of the book of Psalms. Psalms is the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. I just want to begin by reading the first three verses. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." He begins, and I want to go to another place before I get into the meat, but he begins by giving some admonition of where not to walk, where not to stand, and where not to sit.
Right, right.
Sometimes you got to know what not to do in order to know what to do.
Amen.
Recently, we had some engineers from Mississippi State come and observe us doing firearms instruction. And we had one of our best shooters that had the best form, that had the best skill, and he displayed the right way to shoot, the right way to draw, the right way to pull his weapon. And we also had him demonstrate the wrong way to do it. You know, there's a thing that can happen in firearms where you draw your gun, and we call it bowling, and you do this number. That's not the right way to pull a gun. There's another one that we call casting, where you pull the weapon and then you do this. That's not the right way to shoot either. So they're capturing all this stuff. By the way, they had seven cameras set up, and I couldn't think of but seven being the perfect number. In the Bible, they had seven cameras set up to capture the right way and to capture the wrong way. And, you know, if you're doing something wrong, you kind of want to know how wrong
right. You're
doing it. But before I go deeper into this, I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 6 for a moment, where the Lord speaks. It says, "Thus saith the Lord," this is verse 16, well-known passage. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways," plural, "and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The first Old Baptist meeting I ever went to, I wasn't an Old Baptist. The first Old Baptist meeting I went to, I didn't believe Old Baptist doctrine. And I sure didn't believe Old Baptist practice. I was standing in the ways. That word is plural because you're at an intersection. You're at a crossroads. If you're at a crossroads, you got to know which road to take. I was believing in a works salvation. I was believing that something I did was what ultimately would bring about my home in heaven and immortal glory. And I was also believing that my failure would cause so many to burn in a place that the Bible describes as where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You're talking about a weight and a burden. That's what I believe. We all know that if it's based on something we did, I had a good understanding of Romans 7. There's a warfare going on. And I knew deep down in my heart that if it was based on something that I had to do, I knew deep in my heart that I really didn't do it right. Except the Lord in my heart, did I do it right? When I got baptized, did I have the right attitude? Did I do it right? I had no peace. I had no rest. Some of my best friends that lived the most godly life, that believed in work salvation like I did, we'd go and we'd rededicate our life again and again. Some got baptized again and again. Because deep in our hearts, we knew we didn't do it right. But I came. He said, stand ye in the ways. I was at a crossroads. And see. Come and see. And see. And ask. You know, the picture that's being drawn in my mind is there's at least one person, maybe many people, that's at this crossroads that you can ask.
Right.
The Lord gave me that. Numerous ministers helped me. But I'll tell you, my precious now bride,
yeah,
helped me more than anybody. And I asked, where's the old path? Where is it? The definition of the old path, Brother Luke preached to us, is the path of the Lord.
Amen.
The pattern that He set up. The definition of the old path is not what grandmama and granddaddy did.
Right. Amen.
Now we hope,
right,
grandmama and granddaddy,
amen,
were in the old path,
right,
in that pattern of the Lord's path. We hope that. And if that's the case for you, thank God.
Amen.
But that's not the definition.
No.
The path of the Lord Jesus, the pattern that He set up, the way He set up His church with preaching, praying, and singing, that's the pattern. That's the old path.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's the good. It's the good way. And it's the only good way.
Amen.
It's singular. And walk therein. Don't walk any other path. Don't get on any side road. Don't take a detour, even for a little wild.
Amen.
Stay on the path. And ye shall.
Yes, sir.
We as old Baptists love the shalls of the Bible. This doesn't say might. This says ye shall find rest unto your souls. We live in the most comfortable. Thank you, brother. We live in the most comfortable, from an outward standpoint, time in the history of the world. The kings of old would love to have the outward comforts we got. But I dare say, in our world today, we got people that are have less rest on the inside than probably any time in the history of the world. But I want to tell you, the rest on this path,
yes, sir,
is an inside rest. Amen. You find rest for your souls. The most deepest recesses of our heart, there's rest. Let's go back to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. Who was the most blessed? Man. You know, there's a few times, and some of these you could kind of look over. I have a habit of sometimes reading the Bible, and I'll look over some words. It can sometimes be very important. You know, when Peter denied the Lord 3 times, he had made a great boast. He said, though all men forsake thee, though John, though James, though the other disciples forsake thee, yet will I never forsake thee. I'll lay down my life for you.
Right.
And I think he meant it when he said it.
Yeah.
But he got scared. And he denied 3 times, the last time with the curse on his lips.
Yeah.
That he knew the Lord Jesus. He says this twice in this account. Uses similar language, but the last time, verse 74, Matthew 26. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. A few verses before, he had denied with an oath, saying, I do not know the man. Pilate would bring Christ out in the robe that was put on him for mockery and said, behold, the man. But it's been preached to us. He would also say later in that chapter, behold your king. We've heard the verse, 1 Timothy 2, quoted, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man.
Amen.
Christ Jesus. He's the man.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I don't know how common a saying this is, but sometimes if we've had somebody in our law enforcement system and then they're very, very well respected, we'll say they're the man.
Yeah.
They've got power. They've got respect. Blessed is the man. These verses are going to give us some good admonition, but I'll tell you, the only one that did this perfectly is the man.
Amen.
Christ Jesus.
Right.
Blessed is the man. He's blessed with grace. He's blessed with mercy. He's blessed with with love. He's blessed with compassion. He's blessed with knowledge. He's blessed with power. He's blessed with splendor. He's blessed with glory. He's blessed with majesty. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Colossians 2 would say of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not some of it, all of it. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Jesus always walked just where He should be walking. When He was on the hills of Galilee, He's in the right place. When He went to be baptized by John, as was preached to us, He went to the right place at the right time. When He walked the hill of blind man, He was in the right place. The hill of leper, He was in the right place. To raise Lazarus from the dead, He was in the right place.
Amen.
How many times have I walked in the wrong place? He never did. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
Amen. Amen.
Notice it didn't say in the path of the ungodly, it said in the counsel. Where do we get our advice? We better not get it from the world.
Amen.
Because I guarantee you the world will tell us wrong.
Amen.
But it has been preached to us so ably during this meeting, here's where we get our counsel. The Bible said in a multitude of counselors their safety.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to go to my brethren and sisters that believe.
Yes,
this is the truth.
Amen.
For our counsel. He tells us where not to walk. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand it in the way of sinners. I was at a wedding in Nashville not long ago, and it was crowded, and we were in the reception. Have you ever been to a place where no matter where you stood, you're in the wrong place? That was my experience. Wherever I stood, I was in the way. And I may even stand in another place, I was still in the way. How many times have I stood in the wrong place? Not in the place where my Lord stood. You know, when Abraham was going to be told by God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the two angels that had gone to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah had left, but it said Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
Yeah.
When Elijah comes on the scene, Elijah the Tishbite, I always like the sound of that. Elijah the Tishbite. Sounds kind of Brother Luke Layers. He begins to speak and says, "The Lord before whom I stand."
Yeah. Amen. Right.
Wherever I stand, I want to be close to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when I first started courting Sister Emily, dating Sister Emily, every time we had a picture, and I was including the picture, my daddy-in-law would say, "Hey, you get on the end. We might need to cut you off." So when I started, I think he meant it too. I don't think he ever did it, thank God. So whenever we started taking pictures, imagine this is his head. I'm like right here. I said, "If you cut me off, you're getting your ear." I've told our judges if something goes off bad in court, the bench of most judges is bulletproof. Of course, I'm saying it like, "I got your back, I'll help you." But I'm really wanting to get behind that bullet. And I said, Judge, if something happens, I'm right there. I'm right behind you. I got your back. I'm right there. But that'd be a good place to stand if something bad happened. I'm going to tell you, it's always good. Always good. To stand by the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
To be close to Him. The psalmist would write, my soul, I can't get the exact quote, clingeth, it's basically the meaning of clingeth hard unto thee. My soul followeth, cleaveth hard unto thee. It almost has the connotation of static cling, like when you take a clothes out of the dryer and there's a sock stuck to your pants.
Yeah.
That's how close. That's close. And he said, I want to be that close to you. I want to stick right to you. Lord, I need thee. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, when you're walking, it's easier to change course because you're already moving. And they train us to do different movements if we come up in danger, to do a tactical L or those things. It's easier to move if you're walking. It's a little bit harder to move if your feet are planted, if you're standing, than if you're sitting. It's really hard to move. And they tell us if you're in the presence of someone you think is dangerous, do not sit. You don't sit. Because that's the hardest place to get movement. And he tells us all the things not to do. Then he says this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. What are we delighting?
Yeah.
What do we delight in? Psalms 37 will say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of thy heart. And I'll tell you, when our delight's in the Lord, the desires of our heart will be things that please the Lord.
Yes.
There'll be things found in His law that we meditate there and day and night. There is nothing better to think about than the things of God. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a good cure for anxiety.
Yes,
when I'm feeling down and I begin to think about the good things of God, I'm lifted up. One of the advantages of meetings such as this that's so wonderful I'm going to hasten on. More could be said about that. And he shall be. Who delighted in the Lord better? Who delighted in the Word of God better than anybody else? The Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Who's our perfect example? It says, he that saith he abideth in him, he that saith he abideth in him, that is in the Lord, ought himself so to walk.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Even as he walked. Tells us he's given us an example, Peter would say, that we should follow in his steps. That's detail. You know, I used to try to walk like my daddy. My daddy was in law enforcement. He walked like a cop. I had hardly seen myself on video much. We did a video at mine and Sister Emily's wedding. I saw myself walking down the aisle. I'm like, did I walk like that? I walk like a cop. But I used to try to walk like daddy. But you know, it was hard to see his exact steps till it snowed. And then when it snowed, the whiteness and brightness of the snow, I could literally walk in daddy's steps. What a blessing when we have seen the Lord's steps laid out before us.
Amen.
Blessed is the man. we're able to, in some small ways, do that. We can do that in a communion service that was described, especially in the foot washing. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then ye ought also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Sometimes if somebody just explains something to me verbally, I have a tough time getting it. But if they show me, I can understand it. Jesus showed us by his example in that. And he showed us by his life how he responded to things. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. How much I need to walk in those steps. How easy it is for somebody to revile us and we'll say, I'll get you. I'll get you. You just wait. He reviled not again. We suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He shall be like a tree planted. Now, we're to follow all this. We're to follow his example. But I believe the psalmist is laying out a picture of the perfect man. The most blessed man. He shall be like a tree planted. God said, I am the Lord. I change not.
Amen.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Right.
Me and Brother John Mark, we had three big old bushes that were in our yard that had been there since the house was built. That was 93. And those things were deeply rooted. And I said, we got to get them things up. Well, I saw this thing on YouTube where you can attach a chain to it, and you put this tire, like here's the bush, you put this tire right here, you do the chain over it, it gives you way more leverage. Sounds like a great idea. Brother John Mark, I think, was at work. I should have had help. I was trying to do it by myself. And the first time I used it, my chain wasn't long enough. I used a strap. I'm yanking on it with the sequoia, really digging it in hard to get this planted bush up. It didn't want to move. The first time I did it, I pulled it, the strap broke, and I looked back there and I'm like, where's that big tire? And the tire had gone all the way down our neighbor's house. And I'm like, dear Lord, please. I will pray about the little things and the big things. I had a very nice car down there, and I really was scared. Thankfully, the Lord answered that prayer, and nothing was damaged. But the point of that is, that bush had been there a long time. It wasn't moving. I'm going to tell you, the Lord did not move from his course. He did not deviate. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He had promised before the foundation of the world, Lord, you gave me a people, and I won't lose one.
Amen.
And he went to the cross of Calvary. He was firm in his path. He was planted, and he wasn't changing. Neither should we. We're in the right way. We're in the old path. We're in the good way. We should be a tree planted,
yes, sir,
by the rivers of water. You know, in the end of John chapter 3, after the Lord has explained the new birth to Nicodemus, it says this, For to him, that is to the Lord Jesus, the Spirit's not given in measure to him. He has the fullness of the Spirit. We have the Spirit in measure, and it's a tremendous and wonderful blessing. But he does not have the Spirit in measure. He's got the whole thing. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's always fruitful, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm going to tell you, he's a tree that's always fruitful.
Amen.
You remember when the Lord Jesus came across that fig tree? It had leaves on it, but it didn't have figs on it. The Bible said it was not the time for figs. Jesus cursed that tree. And I scratched my head on that for a long time. I'm like, it wasn't supposed to be doing that. You cursed it, and I'll never have figs. But you know, I think the lesson in God's kingdom, there's never a time,
that's right,
amen, when we should not bear fruit.
Amen.
And there's never a time where He doesn't,
amen,
bear fruit.
Amen.
I want us to look at Song of Solomon chapter 2 and just get that verse. Verse 3, this is the bride talking to her kingly husband. She said, as the apple tree.
Yeah.
Among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down. We want to know the right place to sit. Here's a good place.
Amen.
I sat down under His shadow. Me and Brother Ken Brennan were talking a little bit this morning. We were out in the sun, and there was a shade tree right next to us. I said, let's move over. We looked for the shade. We looked for the comfort, for the peace, for the rest of the shade. The Lord Jesus, I love that time where He says, come ye apart to a desert place and rest a while. We can rest under this tree. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of rest. It's a place of refreshing. She said, I sat down under His shadow with great delight. There's that word again. And His fruit was sweet to my taste. You know, when you taste something, you've committed.
Yeah.
The other day for 4th of July, I talked a little bit about my in-laws. We like chips and dips. I mean, we enjoy chips and dips. And we had found these potato chips that the description of them was cheesy garlic bread chips. And I mean, I like cheesy garlic bread. That sounded really good. But you tasted those things? The bag was full. Nobody wanted those things. Because you see, you can have advertisements. But you know what you got when you taste it.
Amen.
Amen.
All
right.
Brother Jerry Creekstone Love. When I first came to the Old Baptist, I didn't believe the doctrine. I didn't believe the practice always says that. But I'll tell you, the Lord's people wrapped around me.
Yes, sir.
Not only felt the love of the Lord's people, and I felt their tender embrace, but I knew where that love come from.
Amen.
Came from the tree.
Amen.
Yeah. Came from the apple tree. And that kept me coming back. Coming back. Till I did believe the doctrine. Till I did believe the practice. And I found rest for my soul.
Yes, sir.
We've been blessed to sit under the apple tree. Our husband. We found shade there. We found rest there. We found food there. This food was sweet to my taste. I'll finish with this. And whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. You know, one of the strongest pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in a person to me in the Old Testament is Joseph.
Yeah.
If you look at the life of Joseph prospered. Yeah. He was sold into slavery, but as a slave, he prospered. He was blessed. He was then falsely accused and became a prisoner. But as a prisoner, he prospered. He was blessed. Then he was promoted. In one day, he went from the prison house to the palace.
Yeah.
In one day. And he prospered as the second in command of Egypt. And if you wanted food in that time of famine, you had to go where Joseph was.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, whatever our Lord Jesus Christ did, he prospered.
Amen.
When he died the greatest battle upon the cross of Calvary that's ever been fought, he was a prisoner of the Roman authorities, but as a prisoner, he prospered.
Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you, in one day, his soul and spirit went from the prison to the palace.
Amen.
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 Then 3 days and three nights, he showed the grave couldn't hold him. He prospered over the grave.
Amen.
The grave couldn't hold him when he broke forth. He had told them, 3 times in the book of Matthew, they're going to crucify me, but on the third day, I will rise again.
Amen.
And on the third day in power and in great glory, he rose again and showed and pointed back that what I did on the cross was not a defeat, but the greatest victory that's ever been won.
Amen.
He prospered. And I'll tell you one sweet day, our prospering king, our prospering shepherd, our prospering husband, he's coming back with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God.
Right.
He's going to take us all home to be with him in heaven and immortal glory. It has already been mentioned, he's going to take us all to heaven and say, behold, I am the children which thou hast given me. I've not lost one.
Amen.
Not one. John 6 says, all that the Father given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, one of our biggest human fears is rejection. We're a boy, we're feared to be rejected by a girl, fear to be rejected by a boy, fear to be rejected by an employer, fear to be rejected by so many things. He said, I'll in no wise. That means absolutely never. I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me to the law, which he hath given me. I prospered. Should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Every single heir of promise, every single one that the Father gave to the Son, when Jesus comes back, we're all going.
Amen.
He prospered. He won the victory. And because he prospered, we prosper.
Amen.
All the blessings he secured, we are blessed to be a part of. The river that he's right there and that flows from his throne, we say about. I'll close with this. Lord, lead me to the crystal fountain where I bathe my weary soul, where I may drink of it so freely, enveloped in his grace and love. Oh, see the stream of living waters so freely flowing from his throat to this vain world of sin and sorrow where my dear Savior's feet have trod. He brought salvation to his people. Holy and reverend is his name. He is the source of all my comfort. Him alone my hope to cling. Let me drink of it so freely. Oh, this shall be my daily cry, or else the weight of sin and sorrow that my weary soul would fain die.
He gave us that. He's our triumphant King. We're blessed to try to follow in His steps forever and ever. May God bless you.
Amen. You heard it mentioned this morning about a place by Him. Have you been by Him?
Yes.
If you've been by Him, it's because in that place, you're on Him, in Him, and covered by Him.
Amen.
But you know, to get to that place, Moses made a request. But the request he made is not exactly what he got.
Right.
He said, "Show me thy glory." But for that glory to come, what had to happen first? The Lord said, "I'm going to proclaim my goodness and have all my goodness pass by thee." Friends, for us to see the glory of the Lord, His goodness has to pass by.
Amen.
I believe it's passed by today.
Amen.
If it passed by, it's made an impact and resonated with us and made a difference in who we are.
Because
I may not be able to tell where somebody's been. I may not be able to tell what all they've been doing. But you know, there were some people years ago that when people took note of them, they took note of who they had been with.
Right. Amen.
They said, "These men have been with Jesus."
Yeah.
And that's what made the difference.
Yeah. Amen.
Friends, we've been with Jesus, and I hope it makes a difference
Amen.
With us.
Amen.
That's what your number, Brother Jeff.
531.